Hi, everyone, and welcome to Connections. I'm Bill Newell, along with Rick Moore and Josh Arnold. Here's what we have in today's program. Rick will be talking in just a moment with Paul Murphy. He's from the town of Rockport, a selectman in the town of Rockport. Paul Murphy, a guest right here on Connections just ahead. Then our panel, Josh, Rick, and myself will be back. We'll talk about some of the things happening around the North Shore today on Connections. A couple of notes here, though, before we get underway. In today's papers, yesterday in North Shore Today, we talked about a wayward shipment of about 9,000 gowns intended to protect Northeast ARC and 15 other organizations. Those are the PPE gowns. Ethan Foreman writes in today's news, they were coming in from China now, and these gowns did not show up, so they're concerned, so it becomes a news story. Well, Tim Brown of Northeast ARC's Director of Innovation and Strategy said 6,000 gowns were shipped out Tuesday, and they are now on the road. They were stuck at customs, according to Ethan Foreman in today's news. So I guess we can't break or we can't call out China on this one. The gowns were sent. They were waiting at customs. But Joanne Simmons yesterday said they had placed that order. We just said it in the paper yesterday for $87,000 worth of the PPE, the gowns for their organization. So that's good news, right? The gowns are there. Also, we have another tiny story here, the from Danvers, and it's the from the Essex Tech High School. And faculty and staff of the school, they have about 340 seniors. And in a statement there, they from Heidi Riccio, their superintendent, we recognize this is a tough time for our graduating seniors. It's also a tough time for our staff as they are missing their students tremendously. So apparently what they're going to do is they're going to deliver signs to their approximately 340 seniors. These deliveries were made to brighten up the seniors' spirits, but also give our staff another way to connect with them, she added. We'll be working with the state and our advisors to determine senior activities and do the best that we can to make this time extra special for them. So Essex Tech, class of 2020, signs, finishing strong signs. They do have a little photo there in the Salem News on that today as well. Well, that is what we have for you today. Again, just ahead, Paul Murphy joining us from Rockport, talking with Rick Moore. And don't forget Connections every day, just about 10 o'clock here. And don't forget to check out our North Shore Today Post daily news podcast, as well as a lot of other stories. We have updates from Gloucester, from Salem in today's post. And we also will have a couple of videos of the day and some other things as well. And some news, actually, from Moynihan Lumber of Beverly regarding their Saturday hours and all the other Moynihan Lumber locations as well. A great supporter of what we do. And we always like to do a little shout-out to Moynihan Lumber folks when they have news to share. And we do have that on our North Shore Today post. Stay with us right here on Connections.
Great now to be talking with Paul Murphy, a voice very familiar to North Shore listeners, North Shore sports fan, and North Shore students as well. Paul, Saugus educator in the town of Saugus, but also the Board of Selectmen chair up in Rockport. So we've got a couple of things we can talk about. And Paul, good morning and welcome to MSO.
Well, it's great to be with you, Rick.
Been a while. It has been a while. And boy, so many things are going on. Excuse me, Paul. I want to ask you, obviously, about what's going on in Rockport. But first, I'd like to talk with you about your role as an educator now in Saugus, the transition to remote learning and how it affects you as an administrator. What's the current situation on how things are going?
Things are going well. This is the new normal. We are spending a lot of time online through Zoom and Google Hangout, where students and teachers are working on assignments. And this is the new way education is being delivered, and it will be until certainly September. School will be out in June, obviously, but kids are checking in with teachers. Administrators are following up with teachers. I'm attending a lot of meetings in the morning and the afternoon on Zoom. And we're getting this done. It's obviously not a perfect situation, and there's no substitution for being in front of a classroom with a teacher and 25 pupils, but we're making the best out of a very difficult situation. But so far, it's going fairly well.
What additional roles do you have, Paul, as an assistant principal, now having to do this online? Because obviously, you communicate with teachers. You have to take direction from the principal. You're a conduit between teachers and students. But now you have this additional remote responsibility. What's part of the job now that maybe you didn't have before?
Well, I'm calling a lot. I mean, I always called a lot of parents, but I'm calling a lot of parents just to check in to if we have not heard from kids. They haven't checked in online. So I'm speaking to parents, and sometimes it's computer issues. Sometimes it's forgetfulness. But I'm mainly spending a lot of time on the phone, making contact with parents, which is great. So, and they're very, very appreciative of the fact that we're online learning is continuing. I've had some great conversations with parents, which I may not have had if we were in session, in the physical building. But so far, we've been working hard to make sure that none of the kids are falling through the cracks, and they're not. We're just staying right on top of everything. And it's pretty much Monday through Friday. In the morning, a lot of meetings are going on, and then into the afternoon. So a lot of good things happening. But I tell you, I cannot wait to return to the classroom and return to school. Obviously, that's going to be in September, but it'll be a welcome change.
Well, let's hope it's in September. You bring up a good point, Paul, that I didn't know about. Barry Pett, Gloucester City Councilor, was talking with Josh Arnold on Connections on Tuesday, and he said, interestingly enough, that in his experience, he's gotten closer to people during this time of social distancing. And he referenced just what you said. He's in contact with more people than he ordinarily would be. Now, does that translate over as a selectman as well in terms of talking with people in Rockport?
Yeah, I noticed that. We went out of, March 13th. It was the last day that we were physically in the building. And I'm used to being around 600-700 people a day. Being in contact with the kids, and in fact, so I had a little bit of an adjustment the first couple of weeks, not having that contact. But now that we're online and I'm calling students, that's changed a little bit. But I have to admit, it was an adjustment for me for two or three weeks because I didn't have that contact with the many people that I did. I think a lot of good things are happening. People are taking this seriously, as they should, and people are helping one another. Neighbors have been great, checking in on the elderly and people that might have some health issues. So there's been a lot of good things that have come out of this, as well as some awful things in terms of we're over 70,000 deaths in this country. We've lost more people in 3 months of this virus than we did in the entire Vietnam War, which is frightening.
That's hard to digest, for sure.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Rockport seems to be, and I don't want to jinx anything, but it's been relatively calm in Rockport in terms of the number of reported cases and so on. And you guys closed up pretty early. You shut the restaurants down. You closed Bearskin Neck, and things are going okay at the moment.
We have not hit the peak, I don't think, but we're a small community, about 8,000 people year round. It almost triples in the summer with summer residents and so forth. But we did take a early stance, and we shut again to protect people, and it wasn't popular. And I've heard negative situations or negative comments about this whole thing. But I think we erred. We always, when we're talking as a board and with the town administrator and other public officials, I always stated that, we're doing all this under an abundance of caution just to make sure that we're doing all the right things so that we protect the citizens of Rockport, which is the most important job if you're on the Board of Selectmen. And I think we've done a good job. Has it been perfect? No. I mean, this thing is changing from moment to moment, practically. But we're responding. The town administrator, Mitch Rivera, with his code red messages coming out, with updates and so forth has been great, and people have gotten the information. Not that everyone agrees on everything that we've done, but they, at least they have the information, and I'm hoping that things will settle down in the next couple of weeks, and we will gradually begin to opening things up again. And that's paramount at this point.
Now, I know that the Board of Selectmen meets weekly, I guess it is. Have you been, do you get contact from people more often than that, people asking you? Because, as you said, Rockport's a small town. Everybody knows Paul Murphy. So are you getting calls saying, you know, I want to know about this, or can you do that, whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I hear a lot, which is great. You know, if I'm out walking the dogs, people will stop. I was at the transfer station early this morning. Someone mentioned me about the face mask and things of that nature. But people have been really good and responsive. And I've driven around town a lot and see people practicing social distancing and adhering to it, which is great. And you know, I have three kids. Ages almost 21, 20, 19, and soon to be 16, and we're all home, and we're, you know, dealing with this the best way we can. But I've really enjoyed the time that I've been able to spend with the kids that I would not have normally. So that, I think there are some positive things that have come out of this. But I think everyone, present company included, will look forward to going back to. The way it was in February, beginning of March.
Yeah, I like the idea of the optimism, Paul, and thinking in a positive aspect. I think my final question might be, with businesses in town, of restaurants, you have the shops and so on, Brockport geared toward, you know, tourist community and the good weather and so on. Is there some kind of committee? Is there some kind of group together to try to advise or maybe just bounce stuff off or just complain every now and then? About the business situation and what may be coming up?
Well, we started opening up restaurants for takeout only, and a bunch of them have already submitted a plan to the town administrator as well as the food inspector to make sure that those restaurants are adhering to the social distancing. So that is a good thing. And they'll be gradually opening up. Right now we have the Feather and Wedge and the House of Pizza, I believe, are the only two that are open, but Hong Kong Kitchen, I believe, will be opening up shortly as well, as soon as all the paperwork is done so on all these restaurants. So I think that's going to be a good thing. And I know Governor Baker said that May 18th is the next date in which the task force of the Commonwealth is going to report on gradually opening up his businesses, but we're following very closely with what the governor is suggesting, and we'll be right lockstep as soon as he allows things to gradually open up. We will be doing the same thing.
Well, as
a lot of it does come down to the individual municipalities, so. We're also following our guidelines as well.
Sounds good. Paul, final comments, perhaps either about your role as the chair of the selectmen in Rockport or as your role as an administrator during this weird time.
Well, I'm blessed on both roles. I mean, being in Saugus has been wonderful. The kids are terrific. It reminds me, so the town of Saugus reminds me a lot of Gloucester. There are a lot of similarities between the two communities, and you know, I miss the kids. I miss seeing the kids every day, and I've been in contact with a bunch of them via phone and Zoom and so forth. But again, that doesn't replace seeing them each and every day. And I have a daughter who's a senior in high school. I feel terrible for her at Rockport High School.
And
College. College and high school, they deserve to get the recognition that, and that will happen. I'm hoping and I'm optimistic that something will happen in the summer in which communities will be able to recognize the seniors that have worked so hard to to finish their high school career. But in the Board of Selectmen, I'm very honored to be on the board, especially during a time like this. And people have been fantastic. Some people are, upset and so forth, and I get that, and I hear that, but I think everyone has come together nicely, and everyone's kind of trying to pull together on crazy, unprecedented times. I mean, when you think about it, with no one alive has ever seen anything like this, where we've had essentially a shelter-in-place at home. Again, I'm optimistic that something good is going to be coming out of this, and a vaccine is on its way, and hopefully this summer things will slowly but gradually begin to return to normal.
Amen to that. That is Paul Murphy, who is the chairman of the Rockport Board of Selectmen.
Connections continues now. I'm Bill Newell, and joined by our panel, which would include Rick Moore and Josh Arnold here with us today on Connections. And gentlemen, we have the daily Governor Charlie Baker press conferences here on our website. We have the video from yesterday's website up on msonewsports.com. And there was a lot of time spent in the news conference with questions from reporters on when will the state reopen. He mentions his advisory board or his advisory panel that is meeting. He also mentions yesterday that the data is looking better, but yet the data needs to continue, according to the governor, for more days, maybe more weeks before the targeted reopening begins in the state. But Rick, despite all that, the weather is getting better until tonight. The weather is getting better. And I guess your thoughts, because one of the great resources that we have here on the North Shore are our beaches. So, Rick, what are your thoughts on what you're seeing with the beaches here on the North Shore?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I want to mention to you guys is in talking to people, one of the things that's just, this is an editorial. One of the things that has disturbed me is the closure of places like Halibut Point State Park, the closure of the parking lot at Niles Beach, the closure of the parking lot at Good Harbor, because those are places where people can go, especially at low tide, and not be in close contact with one another. But that said, all of those places are closed. There was ticketing on Sunday with cars parked along the side of Good Harbor Beach. I think it's Atlantic Avenue on that side there where the bridges are.
And also, Nautilus Road.
It's forcing, yeah, okay, Nautilus Road. It's forcing people to go to the boulevard where everybody's congregating. So I don't know. I don't know if you have that. How is it in the Nahantville? Do you have that kind of situation?
Yeah, I think, I look at the beaches, the Lynn Shore Drive, which is the Lynn Swampscott Beach, and then you have Lynn Beach itself, which runs out toward Nahant. So that's a DCR park on Lynn Beach there, and that parking lot is closed. And then you cannot park along Lynn Shore Drive on one side, the beach side of it. That's all red, all the orange cones, so you can't park there. So you are walking there, and I would imagine on a very nice day that there are a lot of people walking that, and that's great, you know what I mean? But again, whether they're able to social distance or not, I'm not sure about that piece. But they're not parking there, so there'll be less people there with their restrictions now than there would be normally, I'm sure. But, you know, I worry about, you know, I think about the people that are in Lynn that, that go to Lynn Beach, and they buy their season passes, and they go to the beach, and they go to the parking lot. And I think that the parking lot itself is really not a problem when you think about it. You're in the parking lot, and you can social distance in a parking lot, even though it may be jammed full of cars, as I'm thinking now. But, of course, when you get out onto the beach, that's another story, and high tide restricts the actual beach area, I suppose. So there are concerns about that, and apparently they were concerned about people social distancing before even beach season. So I could be speaking out of turn here, so I don't know what to do. I think that, eventually people will want to be at the beach, and they are also going to really need to social distance. So the question is, can they pull that off? I who knows? I don't know.
I think when you look at cities and towns that have expanded areas for recreation, whether it's a park, a playground, or beach, or what have you, basketball courts, etc., those don't usually come into play until – they're not staffed, if you will, until around Memorial Day, because it's a seasonal staffing component. And even though we get good weather before then, you know, they generally don't have the summer recreation staff available to make those properties available to the public. Now, you add into the restrictions because of the health crisis, and because there's an emphasis of not allowing people to congregate, and two, not having the staffing to enforce it, that's why I think you see in the bicycle racks and other barriers put up where you could otherwise park on Niles Beach in Gloucester or other places in other communities. The simple reason is they don't have the manpower or people power to go out and make sure that those people who drive in will maintain the right social distancing. So by blocking off the access, they're covering the social distancing with what limited resources they have for this time of year.
That might be true, Josh, but what I'm noticing, and especially in Gloucester, and again, I'm editorializing, I'm getting this off my chest, is that's forcing everybody to the boulevard. And you cannot social distance in that situation. Yesterday, as for an example, I counted the first 60 people I came across, and I don't see 60 people on the boulevard ever, except maybe, you know, on a hot summer day. The first 60 people I encountered yesterday, 33 people were wearing face coverings, 27 were not. So it just seems to me, why not spread it out? Open up the parking lot to, you know, to residents. Open up Halibut Point. Let people spread out and go everywhere all over Cape Ann. As you pointed out recently, Josh, Cape Ann is a huge geographical area.
No, it is, and it's a lot of space to maintain, and a lot of space to supervise. And I don't think anybody planned. I think that the boulevard becomes a de facto place to congregate because it's open ended, and the other places are closed off by putting barriers up that effectively closes them off. They can't, there are too many other issues that come up by putting sawhorses and stuff along the boulevard, for parking, residential parking and so forth. So, it's the least cost-routing. It's a least difficult place, and you know, maybe they have to take another look at that and how they address that. But it's I think they're just trying to respond to the crisis in with what limited resources they have.
You know, another thing too is like out in California, they open the beaches and then close the beaches, and are, you know, have, it's a very difficult position to put police in to try to police beaches. I mean, it's a crazy thing to be doing, I think. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of problems still ahead. And the other thing too is, even if you put barriers up and prevent parking, people now Uber different places. They get Ubered off somewhere, get dropped off. And it's really, it's actually a nice way if we didn't have a pandemic, for people to get access to the beaches and not worry about parking and being unable to get into a parking lot. They just get Ubered to the beach, and there they are. And then they get take an Uber home or something like that. Times have changed on that piece. So, you know,
you could take public transport. You could take a train to Gloucester or any of the coastal communities, then Uber to the beach and back. So yeah, it's a lot more variables than were present even 5 years ago or 2 years ago. And so they have lots of variables that they have to struggle with. And I think that while we started out with the Fiesta, I think any of the beach issues or park issues that cities and towns have are going to have a myriad of issues that they have to wrestle with, whether it's, staggering the days that they allow people from out of town to come in, whether it's And it's not just beach revenue, but it's the commerce that those people coming from out of town bring besides paying a fee to park at the local beach or the local park. North Shore community, Salem in particular, thrives on tourism. How do you manage that?
Yeah.
How do you manage that in the age of this health crisis? I don't think anyone has the magic wand or the answers, but I know that they're forming task force up and down the North Shore in every city and town to look at how you reopen a city. And certainly those are some of the impact issues that our elected and appointed officials are going to be wrestling with.
Well, I think there's one solution to it, is that would be to release a lot of sharks right along the coastline. And that would really keep the population on the beaches down a bit, I think, in the day.
All right.
I mean, it's a thought, you know what I mean? Nothing else you guys have said sounds good. So I think the shark idea is the best I've heard.
Well, you know, the problem is we don't get sharks until the water gets warmer, and it's been so damn cold here. I don't think the sharks are going to get here till October.
We use our federal money to get sharks, bring them up here, and we'll be good. We'll be good. All right, men. Hey, I guess we beat that one to death, huh? But on that note, we've got a bunch of other shows coming up this week. We'll keep folks posted on the Connection Show. We've got some other things happening with interviews with student athletes and different high school seniors and so on coming up in the days ahead as well. So we are now into May. So we've done it. So here we are.
Got to be patient. Got to do the right thing. And I do want to again point out our series on the class of 2020. We are saluting right now we have begun to salute the captains of the spring sports teams. And if people have suggestions, comments, ideas, send them along. msonewsports@gmail.com is our email address, and we'd love to we'll respond to those certainly.
You got it. All right, along with Josh Arnold and Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, and you have been listening to Connections.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.